Blog Talk Radio.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
WWO Truth Radio. Truth Radio. WWO Truth Radio. Truth Radio.
That is right. What is up, good people? It is wonderful to be here with you again on the show that you wait for all weekend long, Hidden Agendas. I am your faithful host, Carla V. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, the deviant artist herself, Miss Teresa.
Wing, wing, wing. Hi. I'm glad to be here with you. It's always awesome.
I am always happy to be here with you. And as many of y'all may have noticed, tonight we are coming to you a little later than usual, conflicting schedules, but
yeah.
You know, we could not miss tonight. We weren't not going to bring you our weekly spiel, of course.
Yeah, we both are getting into. Well, you are into it more than I am because you have. Oh, I don't know how you're doing it. With your baseball, it's softball. Sorry, it's softball. And
yeah.
Now I'm going to be stuck with G-ball, and I tell you what. And you got to bring the treats and the drinks. You know, every parent takes a turn. It's the cutie stage, but.
I will say this. I don't have patience to coach on that level. We do have one daughter in T-ball and one in coach's pitch. And that's very interesting, but we, for the first time ever, we have decided to be spectators and just watch them. But, of course, we coach a junior team that is 10 to 13 with one daughter on it, they're called the Bells, a Bells team that is 13 to 15 with one daughter on it, and a Debs team that is 16 to 18 with one daughter on it. But it's five different teams. Four different colors, four different size balls, two different cities. We're coaching three of the teams. That's 32 girls. It's going to be a fun summer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, because, oh, no. That would be hard.
It's very interesting.
Oh,
but
my
it's
gosh.
Fun. James, Mr. Impending and I, we live and breathe softball with our girls, so it's very, very... It's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it, but it does make for very interesting, chaotic summers.
This kind of goes in what we were just discussing a little bit between the two of us. When I found out my little one said he wanted to do it, he's going to go play the baseball, you know, or softball, whatever the little one calls it, because the coach even invited him. I'm standing there, and when I go in the car, I sat, put my head in my hands, and my husband goes, "What?" I go, there goes all my fishing. I just bought my license because we're forced to buy a license. Because if you get caught, the fine is so bad. And then if you keep getting caught, I believe you can be jailed.
Right, yes. Well, and what's ridiculous, I mean, it's another way to make money off of it. It's completely unconstitutional. And, you know, there used to be a time that we could live off of our land, and now, I mean, and like I said, it's a money game, possibly another form of tracking also.
Mm-hmm.
But, highly unconstitutional.
Right. Oh, it is. It's horrible. Yeah. You know, we have the freedom of travel. Now, I understand... If, like, say you're in a lake and they want you to have a limit because, you know, there's so many people and that thing.
Right.
I think that's fine. We're not speaking out against saying you should go get 20 of, you know, whatever. We're saying that.
Especially when we're talking about stocked lakes. Especially in cases like that. Because somebody went and got those fish, they put them there.
Right. you know, and I feel the same way about hunting licenses. I do believe that there is a time to hunt. I do believe that there should be seasons. I believe that, yes, there should be counts.
Right.
On
well,
deer,
and
on
I
rabbits.
Don't know if it's, and this is actually a good question. I guess I could find out here. I don't know if it's this way in every state, but I know in the state of Tennessee, the hunting and fishing license is together. You have to get a hunting and fishing license.
Ours is separate.
It runs roughly, I can't remember what she said it was. A friend of mine just bought one the other day.
Now, if you have to buy both, that's expensive because they're you're buying to hunt. So they are really stabbing it to you hard.
Absolutely. And what's crazy is there are a lot of fishermen around here. There are a lot of hunters also. But all of them don't do both. And it's really a scam when you get into where they start combining them.
Yeah.
And usually this isn't something that I'd mention, but yesterday being the first day of spring, how about this unseasonable weather? Are you having crazy weather where you are, Teresa?
Yeah, it's been pretty cold here.
Well, the ground here was 49 degrees yesterday, but the air was 26 degrees. We are standing in softball practice in the next town over. I held a batting practice at 2 o'clock yesterday, and it went from sun shining to snow falling out of the sky. And then it turned to ice, and we had an ice blizzard. And
wow.
Did we stop practicing? Of course not. But, you know, we surely committed things up.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like with the flooding that just happened a few weeks ago down in, I want to say Georgia, I hope I'm right. They did have people die and so on and so forth. And I did mention it, and of course I mentioned it at church too, but not very loudly. I kept my thoughts to myself quite a bit. But I told him, I said, this can be manufactured.
Right. Well, and we've done plenty of shows on HARP, and you know where HARP is concerned and weather manipulation and things of that nature. In a lot of ways, our government and its programs are pretty transparent. If you're willing to look for the information, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, these government agencies aren't being transparent about what they're doing." Oh, yes, they are. You need to do your own digging.
Oh, yeah. It's I have some stuff on it that I was looking for right now real quick, but I probably won't be able to find it because you know how that goes. But there's a way where they
only
can
keep... Only because you mentioned it.
Yeah, there's a way where they can keep the water up in the sky, and I forget what it's called, of course, for a while until it's so heavy that it has to bust.
Miss Teresa, I'm thinking that we may have someone here that may know. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to guess that this is Brandon. Let's see if I'm right. Brandon, is that you?
Do I got my brain on?
Maybe.
Hello?
I'm wrong. Hi, caller.
Brennan Chase.
Hello?
This is the Brennan Chase in Wind.
I'm sorry?
He's kind of cutting out.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out, caller.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there? All right, well, we're going to come back to them in just a moment. We're going to see if we can fix the issue in the studio.
Yeah, and I thought it was him, too, but because he can remember.
Yeah, a lot of times before he comes in. And to our Skype caller, you may want to try to log out and call back in again, and that may fix your connection. We have that issue sometimes with Blog Talk.
Yeah,
and
Blog
so
Talk.
You may want to try it again just to make sure that you can get it in there. Go ahead.
Well, I do have a lot on HARP, but I was looking specifically for... Aspiric Vapor Rivers. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
And the dumb thing is, it was on page 3. But
that's great.
Anyway, enormous invisible rivers of water consisting of vapors that flow more towards the poles in the lower atmosphere. The They rival the flow of the Amazon River and are 420 to 480 miles wide and up to 4,800 miles long. Now, they take the there's five different atmospheric rivers, and I know I'm a little I'm butchering that. But they can create a massive flood. And they did this in Mississippi and Missouri. They had that 40 days and 40 nights, and I am looking for the year of it. And, you know, there was no accident that that was done, 40 days and 40 nights of flooding. They were mimicking and making fun of the Ark and the Bible. It's amazing.
There's a lot of chastising that goes on, too. A lot of belittling that a lot of people don't notice there in that aspect.
That was the word. That was the word I was looking for. So I guess we can move on now.
Yes. Now, there was some encouraging news.
All right.
You know, we should be famous for that alone, butchering words. We bring you factual information. We can't always pronounce everything.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's always
factual. Well, we have such busy lives, and sometimes if I have a lot of time, like if, say, I broke my leg, I mean, I'm serious. If that was to happen, I guarantee you I'd have everything wrote down, Carl, everything would be and I'd be so ready it wouldn't be funny.
Right, me too. Yeah, it's going to take something sitting me down, though, unfortunately, to get me to stay put.
Well,
now,
what is on our agenda for next, honey? What do you have on your plate?
Well, I was really encouraged by the update that we were talking about right before the show. For the last 2.5-3 months, we've been telling you about these cargo ships. Cargo ships, these have dry goods, these have first aid, these have things that come to us that we need, that in a lot of, you know, a lot of times that we take for granted, especially because they're in abundance. Now, as it starts to ripple through and we start to notice that these things are missing, it's kind of what we've been talking about up to this point, bringing you updates. These cargo ships are literally not moving over pennies. This is a greed issue. And these, like I said, these are goods that we use every day. And and it's going to create a ripple effect if they stay put. Now, the encouraging news is, Ms. Teresa just informed me that some of these are beginning to move.
It looks like a couple of them are going right back to South America, or not South America, but Africa, Europe there.
So they're not moving in the correct direction.
No. Now, there is, it looks like, I've been clicking on it. There's one called, let's see here. Oh, a Balo, and it's a tug. There's a little tugboat off of the coast. I'm trying to see I'm not real great with maps either unless I have it all wrote down correctly, so I don't want to. But if you go to vesselfinders.com, but it doesn't look like they're, but it looked like there's three or four all in the exact same general area, kind of all snug together, but they're not, like, in the middle heading to us. Okay? All the others.
Oh.
If you look at Europe, actually, and Europe, it is so crowded with boats now. It's actually more crowded, I think, than what I had saw last couple times I looked. So I know the uplifting message kind of is going down. There is one off the coast of Florida. Let me click on it and see what this is. It should
but that is
come
just one vessel, correct?
It says it's a little fishing vessel. It's off the coast. Well, oops, I am so sorry. It's off the coast of Mexico. Sorry. And it's a fishing vessel. And it's, oh boy, I don't want to butcher. So FUYUANYU 360.
So I
sure
will take your word for it.
Yeah. So I am looking, but for the most part, they may be just, I don't know why they're out. I've been looking to see what might have been carried.
Right.
One appeared to be a, why we did have tugboats out, I just seen we did have a cargo ship. but I can't seem to see what it is actually carrying. And maybe they don't do that for security reasons. That might, be something.
Now, that's definitely a possibility. I'm going to look into that, too, just to have my own answer.
Yeah, right now there's only a little bit of a few. There's, looks like three or four. Gilberto Mariano. Hey, I pronounced a ship name. It's a passenger ship, and it's kind of hanging with that tugboat and another one.
Okay. Yeah. There's still not a lot of real movement.
No.
And
I think we're still dry, and I think it's still very serious.
Guys,
so.
We will start to feel a ripple effect in our country. I mean, it's going to happen.
It's scary.
It really
is. Very scary. To me, it is, but it's also prophecy. We talked about it in many of the others. It's Bible prophecy. We know how the story ends, but going through it isn't going to be a whole lot of fun. also have what we were going to talk about a couple weeks ago, and then just things got in our road and so on and so forth. It's the Zika virus versus dengue. That's how it's pronounced. It's spelled D-U-N-G-U-E, and I'm pretty sure it's dengue. Carla, it looks like we have dengue in Hawaii. Let's see here. Dengue in Malaysia.
Well, they're still sending out warnings in the state of Tennessee. Now, remember when the Zika virus, when it first made its big comeback, a lot of people hadn't heard of it at all. But like you reported when we were talking about it, it was, in the 40s that it actually originated?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were saying, babies in Hawaii were being born with it. And then they told us that it wasn't communicable in any way, form, or fashion. And then the CDC started releasing reports, warnings for sperm banks.
Right.
Started releasing reports for mosquito reports.
Right.
Letting us know that, it's pretty communicable, obviously. It can at least be transmitted through blood, through semen.
Just like we always thought, and we know AIDS is. It's a blood-borne disease.
Right.
And they think we're stupid. So.
Right. And in much the same way, here we have the Zika virus suddenly, and among others. I think it was odd how quickly Ebola took a backseat there.
Oh, my. Yeah, Ebola did. But while Ebola took a backseat, they're starting up their swine flu thing again.
Of course. Guys, I had the swine flu. It's not that bad. I had the swine flu, and I have real deal life-threatening illnesses, two of them. And I had the swine flu. I have my immune system is horrible due to the myasthenia gravis, and my immune system is completely depleted 99% of the time. It takes me a lot to build up. And, I had the swine flu and strep throat at the same time. Totally survived. It wasn't even the worst I've ever been sick. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
And now you tell me that swine flu,
I didn't feel sick enough to constitute that kind of diagnosis. I really didn't.
Right. It definitely is. To put the fear of God in people.
It's controlled by fear, because then they'll get whatever vaccine you want. They'll get whatever medicine you want. Whatever you say will help me. That's what I want to do.
Exactly. Well, there's supposed to be a death toll of 58, it says, so far in Nigeria as of, that was February 22nd, and this is Lassa fever, whatever Lassa or Lassa fever is.
I believe we mentioned that on a previous show. I believe that that came up, but that it was one of the things that we were just going to look more into. And honestly, I haven't yet. But with all of these new illnesses arising, I think we're going to have to break down and do some hard-hitting research. And
well, Ebola did pop up, but it's in
into a show.
Guinea. The country is G-U-I-N-E-A. Guinea. It's not New Guinea. It's Guinea. I don't know where Guinea is. I know. It's probably some little spot somewhere where, and we probably, I probably just butchered that one, yes. So please don't send me email or hate mail.
I really do have reasons for butchering it.
I really do. And if you do send me an email, I will tell you what my condition is. And
my excuse is my southern accent.
God love
I butcher you. Everything. I kill it.
But right now, Zika is the worst. It's in Delaware, Florida. Florida's got like a total of 71 or something. Hawaii, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Australia, the Virgin Islands, Connecticut, New Mexico. My goodness, Honduras, Alabama, and the list goes on. This is a very long list for this Zika, and you cannot tell me that this has not been placed out there, and I think even by air. There's no doubt in my mind it has to have been. I just don't believe that Pennsylvania residents are testing positive for Zika, Pennsylvania. That one was the February 22nd there, but still on the list. They're clear up to now. I mean, there's still Zika. So I guess Zika wins out on
the
virus.
That's the new big thing, huh?
Yep. I'm like...
Now,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say where you find this at is outbreaks.globalincidentmap.com. And that's how you can find out all the stuff that we were reading to you tonight.
Okay. Yes.
What is next?
Okay, we're gonna shift to politics.
All right.
And we were talking a little before the show about Obama and Castro's little meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And Castro, you know, right on the heels of this meeting, is now, and this is Cuban President Raul Castro, he is challenging Obama to lift more restrictions on the island and return the land. You know, get rid of Guantanamo Bay or get rid of the naval base at Guantanamo Bay and give us our stuff back. And basically Obama, you know, he got on down on Cuba concerning, which is really funny to me, concerning democracy and human rights.
Yeah. So disgusting. Every time I heard it, I wanted to puke. I really did.
You know, I would use an old expression, but someone somewhere would take it completely wrong,
right,
and I'd end up with hate mail. So I'm not even going to use the expression.
Well,
but I mean,
you know, communism is communism. Being in prison, there's still people over there in prison, starving and dying, being tortured. The list goes on and on and on, and there's a reason why we as Americans stood up against communism and didn't accept things. And we've been dealing with China, we've been dealing with Cuba. It's just sickening. It's disgusting.
It is. I mean, and you know, I seem to remember when Obama was running all this talk of closing down Guantanamo Bay.
Correct.
Remember that? Right. And now, you know, the Cuban president is saying, hey, give us our stuff back. Close it down. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, and you're the one that's doing everything wrong.
Right.
And I really think that it's really ironic that he went after him on the basis of democracy and human rights.
Right.
It just absolutely blows my mind. That is the most ironic thing I have ever heard in my life. Especially just, considering the current state of our nation.
Yeah, we are a state of deception. We are in a state of evil. We can name them all different states, but we're surely not the United States of America as we are supposed to be and what we really we're going to be. We're not free. We really do not have freedom of travel. We discussed that earlier. We don't have freedom to go fishing. We have to put tags on our car every year, so you never own your car. If you quit paying the taxes on your house, you lose your house.
Right.
We left England, which my family also was Welsh, and then Germany. And there was reasons why they left Germany. It's the same reasons. To come here to own stuff and to be free. And what did they do? We're enchained. We've been enchained forever. And people, this is so much better than being crazy, Pete.
Right. Well, all that changed was the venue, really. Come all the way back around. I'm looking at a few things here. A lot of things going on with this political circus, this election, this big dog and pony show that they put on every 4 years. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go through my spiel. Your vote does not matter. Not because there are so many people voting, but because your vote goes to the popular vote. It doesn't matter what the electorate say that they're going to do. We have seen proof, documented proof, of how they're going to do what they want to do anyway. And just because a candidate wins the popular vote doesn't mean that they win the election. Therefore, your vote truly does not count. And I know you're going to tell me, oh, no. I elected the electorates. I voted for them because they said they're going to vote this way. Guess what? They lie.
Yep.
That's just, I'm just going to clue you in on that secret. Being said, we still have to talk about the circus that's going on because, as everyone knows, the vast majority of the population does buy into the mock democratic process. And so it is important to talk about these candidates and what they are saying and what it actually means. We would be completely remiss if we did not. Now, in the spirit of just a really good time, I have to talk about a story that came out.
All right. I'm ready.
There are two really funny stories. there are two really funny stories that have taken place this week that have really, they've taken fire too. They're spreading. One is if Trump gets elected, he's really pushing this. He's going to have Hillary prosecuted deal. Of course, Hillary is using this to try to discredit Trump at every turn. It's almost like she's nervous, guys. And as we know, if it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. But and not that she doesn't deserve it. But we've seen candidates tell us that they were going to do stuff and then turn around and do the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I told about this and this power trip that Trump seems to be on and all of that. And even how the media portrays him as a candidate, as a person, as a businessman, everything. And how they're using it to perpetuate this race war that they're obviously trying to start. But we'll get into all that. This story was all about Trump and how, he's a racist and he's this and he's that. It was a very, very leftist article to begin with. And, of course, it was mainstream. But as you get into it, then it says, okay, admittedly, the, you know, the, what is the psychiatry, the Academy of Psychiatric Health, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever the government organization is.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
I don't even know why it's not coming to me, but I'm drawing the blank.
Go ahead. I understand.
You know, this organization has, you know, they make it a point to even go into how they frown upon giving a diagnosis without actually seeing the, you know, seeing the patient yourself and having a full evaluation. And then they go on to say, and they listed several psychiatrists that went on record as saying that that Trump is a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And that he, you know, talking about how he had a personality disorder and sociopathic tendencies. And, I mean, it was in the same paragraph where they told that they weren't supposed to do it. You know, that it was wrong to do it. I know it's wrong to do it, but it went on to say that the whatever the organization is,
I believe
that they were making an exception.
I'm looking it up. I think it's Psychiatry Association. I think that's exactly. You're right.
Psychiatric Association or what? Yes. Okay.
Yep. You're right.
Well, this organization. They mm-hmm. said that in this case, in the name of public interest and in order to assist the public to be able to make an educated vote, that mm-hmm. they allowed it this time. I mean, in the beginning of it, it was all how it was so unethical without fully evaluating the patient one-on-one to give this type of diagnosis, but they were making an exception because they felt that the public needed to know.
Yeah.
And it's irresponsible, though. Why? Why would it be considered irresponsible, Teresa?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why would it be irresponsible? Maybe because you don't know the patient one-on-one, and so there's no way to clearly evaluate them, but they felt in the need, for the sake of public interest, to save the world, that America needed to know.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Crazy is that.
Well, we're going to break the rules this time because this guy's a whack job and we feel like we need to tell you about it.
Yep.
I think they
have made it out because they want it to be that way.
Yes.
You know as well as I do, you know, they're all actors and actresses and they're all playing the part that they're supposed to. He is being told to act this way the person in position he is in, he could be like Hillary or any of them others and been with the society or whatever for so long that they're trained, and he really is crazy because of them. I mean,
right. Well, you know? And I wonder, you know, everybody tells me, oh, well, Trump has his own money. He can't be controlled by money. What people don't seem to realize is this man's last name is not Rockefeller.
That's right.
He doesn't know what a lot of money is.
That's exactly right. It ain't Rothschild.
He has a lot of money to us. Right. He's not a Rothschild.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Rockefeller. He doesn't know what money is. And I know that is hard to wrap your head around, especially living in the society that we live in now. You see poverty everywhere, but yeah.
To get it to
everyone has a
price. Heads, right, they own the world. They're the 2%.
And let me tell you this.
Apiece.
Trump's a businessman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
He knows a good deal when he sees one. Oh, I just have to say what you want me to say and get up here. And be a bobbing head, and
yep,
okay,
right.
And I get okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it's a sound investment when he sees one.
Correct, you're right.
And the venue and the stage that this offers Trump will be profitable forever. His name will be profitable forever.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's a whole new level of legacy. It's a whole new level of of upper echelon. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a whole different world for him.
Well, all I can say is, it just. I mean, at this point in time, to be in 2016, and I know I'm not that old, but I always consider myself an old gal. I've been seeing this over and over since I was 5 years old, and going through all the administrations, you know, Jimmy and Reagan, and now I'm at the point where I'm just so sick, and I don't know why the rest of the country isn't puking red, white, and blue with me.
I don't understand. Well,
especially, I got a headache from it. I can't even turn on the TV and listen to it, Carly. It really makes me sick.
Well, like we were talking about a couple of weeks, I understand. Well, as you know, we don't own a television. We do not own one television. We do own three computers, but we monitor what happens on them. We have five daughters. We don't own a television because the television lies, the television mesmerizes, the television brainwashes, the television exposes my children to things that I don't want them to expose to. I know that the world will expose them to certain things, but I want to be able to prepare them for that
and
to know how to handle that. And so we don't own a television. Of course, I don't judge people that do. We own one for a very long time. It's a personal choice. And in that, I really have to, I also don't get mainstream media. The only time that bothers me is if we have a storm,
or
the local weather.
Right.
But that's about it. But I, televisions are a no-go for me. But, and a lot of it, I mean, even with this political circus that's going on, and this whole, it's ridiculous. I'm still watching it. Just it's getting more and more vicious. The media is creating this racial divide that is sickening. I had a friend of mine. She was she had posted a story and she was absolutely appalled. And she was even more appalled by what I had to say. But I mean, there was an element of truth to what she was saying, though she was just going about it the wrong way. She had posted a story about a girl, Jessica Chambers. I can't remember if Jessica was in Arkansas or Mississippi. We live in Tennessee. We don't live far from Memphis. And so the Mid-South is the Mid-South. And, you know, we hear about something happening not too far away inside the Mid-South, and we don't really pay attention to which state it was. We just know it was one of the three. I know it wasn't Tennessee, though. I want to say it was Arkansas. I think it was across the river, but I can't be sure. But anyway, a little white 19-year-old girl, the color does matter, her race does matter in this particular story, the only reason I bring it up. But she, I believe it was late last year, I can't remember for sure, she left her house, she was seen on a camera at a gas station later on. The fire department was called. There have been different reports. Some say that they found her on the ground next to her car. But the initial reports that came out said that she was literally walking down the street on fire.
Aww.
They had poured lighter fluid down her throat and all over her body.
Aww.
And set her on fire. And she did her injuries hours later. But what the friend was saying, she was like, see, this is, you know, it was one of those, this is that racist crap. Because, and this is what I was talking about before, as the Black Lives Matter movement began, and then, you know, it almost became a Black Panther, Black Power thing. And I urge you all, I don't have a racist bone in my body. Do not allow them to divide you. You are being systematically divided, and you cannot allow that. But, you know, as I love you all, but as this, you know, all this started, well, now you're seeing the other side of the coin, and not that there weren't white racists before, but those that weren't necessarily racist before are starting to say, well, you know what, white lives matter too, and they're starting to get frustrated. And that's what this post was. And it was basically saying that every time a white person shoots a black person, you see it on lamestream media, but when it's the other way around, you don't see it. And the reason that that was said is because 17 black gang members were arrested or were questioned. I don't know if all 17 were charged. I know some of them were with the cops. And that you don't see a lot about it in mainstream media. And it's because of the color of her skin. Well, I had to argue with her. While I agree that the media is...
Go ahead.
Right. Well, the media is perpetuating this race war. Everything is very negative. Everybody seems to walk on eggshells. No one can seem to accept the fact that we're all just people.
Right,
and coexist. And but I myself read a story. It was front page on People magazine.
Okay.
And so it has made mainstream media. I do know I saw a clip on Facebook where it was on USA or Good Morning America. It has gotten this attention. So to say that every time something now it hasn't been on the news every single day, like, say, some of the other crimes have, but it has gotten attention. And so I want to say, you know, I don't want to pick on either side of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
White folks, calm down, too.
Right.
Stop getting bent out of shape. This is your media manipulating you, and they're doing it. I mean, it's not their agenda, of course. They are fulfilling another agenda, someone else's agenda, someone much, you know, people much higher, the elite, the powers that be. But they, I mean, it's so disturbing to me on both sides. There's so much hatred, and people are allowing themselves to be divided in this way. You automatically hate someone because of, you know, because your favorite celebrity said so, that you should. Or all of a sudden, I mean, there's a lot of white guilt. There's a lot of frustration, and both sides of the argument need to see that a lot of the stuff that's being put center stage and a lot of the stuff that's being put in your face every day, that isn't always how it really is. I walk down the street every single day and coexist with black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanic people. We talk, we smile, we wave. No one shoots one another.
Right.
I go in a store and I'm friendly with everyone. There are no brawls.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow yourself to be divided.
You're right.
You know, remember, together we stand, divided we fall.
We fall.
They want you to fall, guys. They want you to fall. The idea is to weaken us. Well, you know, we can't take away all of their guns. We see that that's not going to work. Too many people started standing up. So what's the next best thing? Well, let's make them kill each other. And if they won't kill each other, at the very least, they won't stand together and fight against us.
Mm-hmm.
They won't defend one another against us, and that's what they're counting on. That you won't defend your neighbor because you have been divided by sexual orientation, by race, by religion, by income, by everything. Whatever reason to hate, because everyone's given their own little soapbox, and.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that some issues aren't worth speaking up for. What do you think we're doing?
Yep.
Some issues are worth speaking up for, but every little thing is not always going to be perfect for everyone.
Right.
Not going to happen. Life's not perfect.
Yep, exactly right.
And everyone has to, you know, it seems like everyone in society, and when I say everyone, that's a very generalized statement, guys.
Right.
I'm not necessarily talking about you personally. But society,
right.
Everyone seems to have this false sense of entitlement. Suck it up, Buttercup. It's not about you.
Oh, man, that
entitlement
thing is just
terrible. You've got to look at the bigger picture.
Terrible.
It's not just about us getting by and surviving as individuals. It's not about the daily grind anymore of just trying to scrape by and survive. It's about really having to stand together and defend ourselves against a tyrannical government.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time comes, when it all comes to pass, when everything really starts going down, when that time comes, it seems if things start or continue to progress in the way that they're going, no one's going to stand together.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that that's just another illusion of the media and that it's not really the way that it seems. That our country isn't as torn apart as it is. Maybe they're just publicizing the few, and I really hope so.
Well, you're saying I get to stumbling my words a lot. Believe it would be 2 Timothy 3:2, where people will be lovers of. Let's see here. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Boastful, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, and haters of good. And this is more of the text, it's more prophecy, and it's exactly what you just talked about.
Right.
Every bit of
it. And I do want to throw our disclaimer out there, as I always do, because I don't advertise us as a religious show, but both of us gals are Christians. We do believe in free speech and freedom of religion, and we don't mind sharing the love of God. If you don't agree with us, that's absolutely fine. We don't hate on you if you don't agree, so please don't hate on us.
Right. If it's prophecy, though, it's prophecy.
Right.
I dare them.
And I'm sorry,
to
but
try
in my eyes,
right.
It's fact.
No. That's exactly right. They can't look around and say exactly what you said. Exactly.
Right.
About everybody, them feeling that they're better than anyone else, that they're ungrateful about everything that they get, but then they love all the money they can get, but then they're abusive and disobedient to their parents. They treat their parents like crap. And that wasn't the way they was raised.
Well,
so
a lot of that goes back to what goes on in schools, and a lot of that goes back to the power being taken away from the parents, the time
mm-hmm.
being taken away from the parents between extended school hours, like we had talked about in past shows when we were doing our Common Core series.
Mm-hmm.
Even as far as activities, and like here in the state of Tennessee, if they keep you
mm-hmm.
over for an activity, if they keep you until 4 o'clock, or schools where the kids have to stay till 4 o'clock, they don't get out till then, they start at 8 and get out at 4, they have to eat dinner. They have to feed
mm-hmm.
your kid dinner. Well, that takes away the family meal also. Well, and then you have the overstepping the grounds like by organizations like CPS and Department of Children's Services, organizations like that, where we have seen where they would take kids from homes where, you know, there were no drugs, there was food, there was love, sometimes for
mm-hmm.
political reasons, sometimes, you know,
yep.
for
whatever. So they're coming into your life because people like us, it could very well be that they're speaking out. And maybe they actually got a spark going, and maybe they actually got people to wake up and go, okay, and maybe they had someone gathering and listening. And what we're going to do, we're going to tear apart your family. This is how wicked and evil they are.
Well,
even
if you look at it on a smaller scale, even not just the taking away of kids or the life intrusion, but if you look
mm-hmm.
at it like the taking away parental rights, telling you, you know, there used to be a time when you could spank your child.
Yep.
And when you spank your child, chances are they didn't want to spank it again, so they stopped doing what got them in trouble. And
I mean, come on. We're not
spanking
our kids.
Spanking
is the same
lives, guys.
Right.
And I'm not talking about beating children. There's a big difference between the two. But spanking children, when they took that away, that when they started, you know, demonizing parents, well, you shouldn't hit children because it ruins their self-esteem. No, well, you know what that causes. It causes that sense of entitlement, that, well, I don't have to. I can do what I want to do attitude.
Nothing's going to happen to me.
Right. I have had to spank my children very few times because apparently it's an unpleasant experience and they didn't want to do it again.
Well, you know, my father
I can
never
count on
me.
One hand how many times I've had to spank any of my kids.
Well, it's you have it in you then. You got it. My dad had that. My mom spanked. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't have that. But my dad, he would magically sometimes even guilt you that you felt horrible that you ever did it. And you
would never
do it again.
I have that because my children, they feel so bad that they hurt my feelings.
Oh.
I really think that that's what it is. And it's so sweet because all of our girls, all five of mine and Dr. Impending's girls will tell you, you know, that they adore their mother. And so, yeah, I think it's that they don't want to disappoint me. They want me to be happy with their actions. And, you know, but when they took that power away from a parent, the power to choose how to discipline their children,
right.
It has created some of the most self-righteous sissies. Look at Kanye's mama didn't spank him.
Ugh. She's probably too busy.
I bet she did.
She was probably too busy controlling him. She was probably a handler, not a mother.
I tell you, I mean, it's more of that. But even on that scale, though, that, you know, a lower scale, like in terms of discipline, they take that power away from parents, and they're creating this entire race of.
Well, get this, okay? While we had that, you do, and this will lead right into that real quick. There's a bunch of homeless people, and it's down in Florida. It's not just one case. It's a bunch of cases. There's been a bad batch of something called Spice. It's a synthetic marijuana.
Yeah, they used to sell it in head shops in Tennessee, and they outlawed it about a year ago.
Well,
it was a big deal here in Tennessee.
This bad one is making them really bad. It's making them overdose, like in zombie form. Which,
well,
by the way,
the problem with stuff like that is it's not regulated. The problem with stuff like that is, you know, they're throwing together a batch of this and a batch of that, you know, and sometimes it might have such and such amount of one ingredient, and sometimes it might have 20 times that
well,
much.
Well, see, that's how they change it. When they tell them they can't have that one, then they tweak that chemical grade just a little, and they can put it back out.
And this stuff, when it was sold in Tennessee, it was sold as incense. But people were buying it and smoking it. And I remember a case in Memphis where a man had been smoking it. And first he ran into a parked car, literally on his feet, into a parked car. And he had injured himself somehow. I know that he was supposedly bleeding. And he attacked a man through a car window and started eating his face. And of course, it was publicized as a zombie attack at first, which was hilarious. I mean, that's what they were calling it. Of course, they didn't actually say it was a zombie. But it is that level of mind with what makes you eat a person.
Well, it's just like, see, they did, that was another card on the little Illuminati cards that we talk about all the time. It's the zombie card. And then bath salts to do the same thing, and they make people eat dogs. They make them do the most awful, horrid things.
Teresa,
I don't know why in the world you don't
want to do. My question is, who is sitting around doing nothing one day and wants to get high so bad that they go, oh, I'm going to smoke these bath salts?
Well, I tell you what, I have seen the attitude. I have seen the attitude up front from people. And let me tell you, it's I want to party, I want to do this, I want to do that, and they don't have the desire. And here, I'm sorry, people, they don't have the desire for Christ. They have the desire.
Well, I
want to
make it really clear, too. I'm not judging in any way. I'm sincerely trying to understand. I don't understand the addictive nature of that personality type. I honestly don't. And I'm not judging in any way. I know that everyone has their own demons.
It's self-destructive.
And I know, right. I have watched it.
There's a part of them that wants to kill themselves. Carla, there's a part of them that they're so depressed and with this life and with everything that has bombarded them within their life. And
yes,
they get
yes.
so depressed that they just don't care. And all they want to do, I think a lot of them do it and hope that they get killed. I really do believe that there are some who do it hoping they die.
Well, you know, I'm noticing a whole new breed of drug addict emerging. And it's scary and it hurts my heart. And I've seen it firsthand. One with a family member, a dear, trusted family member, up until heroin took him over. But he started out, he had hurt his back, and he started out on prescription pills from the doctor. And then when one didn't work, it was two. And I saw him with my own eyes take 5 Percocet 10s at one time.
Yep, wow.
And it just floored me. And my husband told me, I saw him take even more. I've seen him take a handful at a time. And then he moved to a needle and to heroin and to a needle. And I watched it, and it all started at that doctor's office. The other wonderful person, soccer mom, loves her children, tore her rotator cuff, and was put on prescription medication and became extraordinarily addicted to it. And the doctors kept telling her, well, no, there's no way, the pain is just too bad, you're not going to be able to do without this pain medicine, when she expressed a desire to get off of it. And, you know, the doctors kept pushing it on her, and then just wanted to take it away, no weaning her off, just took it away one day, at which point she started buying them off the street. So now a completely honest, good person has become addicted to something to the point that they have to commit a crime in order to fulfill the need that trusted authority figure, that doctor that they thought cared so much about them, the one who sworn to keep them healthy, got them hooked on. The biggest pushers in your neighborhood have MD after their name. And many of them, and it's scary, many of them don't even realize that. I have friends who are doctors that sincerely try to stay away from pain medicine, that will try other avenues. You know, and in some instances, you need pain medicine.
But you also,
don't get me wrong.
You also control yourself, too. I mean, there are things that just... I don't know. I guess I just have, whenever I've gotten into anything and I thought I could tell it was addicting, I always backed away from it.
I
never really wanted to stay there in that, I don't know what kind of sense of euphoria or whatever. I didn't want to be like that.
Right,
you know?
It's just spacey to me. I've had to take pain medicine before, and it's just, I'm loopy. I don't feel like myself, and I don't like that.
Well,
but,
I'm loopy,
you know,
anyway, so.
Well, and another thing, and this goes back to Big Pharma and this big agenda, like we talk about all the time, there are cures for cancer, but cancer is a big business, and they're not going to lose, you know, trillions of dollars a year to cure people, to make sure that people live. You know, of course, there's also the matter of population control, so there's two birds with one stone right there. But also, I have a dear friend of mine's husband. Her husband has, you know, he had a similar situation. He had a work injury they put him on pain medication. He became addicted to the pain medication. He had a family. He realized that he was addicted to the pain medication. Even though he was only taking what the doctor gave him, he wasn't buying it illegally, he realized that there was a problem, that he couldn't do without it, that he was sick when he didn't have it. And he didn't like the dependency. And in order to regain his independence, he decided that he was, you know, going to do his best to get off of this pain medication, you know, immediately. So his doctor referred him to a methadone clinic.
Uh-huh.
And several, I would say, several thousands of dollars later, and we're looking at roughly 12 years, maybe, later, and he's addicted to methadone. And he said, had he known the monster that methadone is, he just would have quit the pain medication cold turkey.
Well, now it's the boxing. So we have two.
Yes. So, I mean, and these people, you're trading one addiction for another. Yeah, you're not going to be addicted to Lorazep or Percocet anymore. Now you're addicted to methadone. And they've got you because you are drug tested to make sure that you have the right amount in your system. And yes, they can tell. You are drug tested to make sure that you don't have anything else in your system. They call you to come in so that they can count your pills. And if you mess up, like, they take it away from you. And then what are you left to do? Well, you're left
they
to
even,
buy drugs illegally
by,
or start putting a needle in your arm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. It was so funny growing up. We always heard that pot was the gateway drug. No. No, I would say that Lorazep is the gateway drug.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and check. I might screen this caller that's got their hand up.
All right.
I don't know if you want to take any breaks or give me 1 second here. And...
Well, go right ahead and do, and I'll just keep
all
running
right.
my mouth.
Okay, it won't be long.
All righty. Yeah, guys, it is very, very disturbing to me that people, I'm not even going to say that people don't see. The majority of the population sees the problem that it is. The majority of the population sees what it's doing to their community. But in cases with my friend, even those that think that they're making these positive changes and trying to do something to take steps in a positive direction, they're getting screwed anyway. They're trading one addiction for another. And it's a very costly addiction, and I don't even know how to describe what these people go through. I see them and I truly feel for them because here they are trying to do the right thing, and even then they're caught in another trap. And it's disturbing, guys, but that's the way it is, and that's the way it is with a lot concerning Big Pharma. Yes.
We have, and I think he said his name was a Q from California. He just has some suggestions and some things with some questions about what you were discussing.
Sure.
The medications and the doctors.
Awesome. Welcome.
You're live. You're live, hon.
Thank you very much. The only reason I raised my hand because you guys, a couple of things you said you seriously wanted to know why some of those things were. Here's why I agree with you. Because I work in medical, you unfortunately have drug companies in major control of the entire system.
Yeah.
One of the good things with Obamacare, even though people may not like it, but one of the good things that came about was something called meaningful use. You remember when doctors used to be able to say, "Go take these battery of tests," and they were trying to figure out why you had something? Well, if they went through basic trial and error with the blood, they can narrow it down. But that was their lazy way of having you pay for a bunch of tests you don't necessarily need to help their job get easier. Now, with meaningful use, you have to specifically say why this person is going on this drug. You have to specifically say why they need codeine as opposed to regular ibuprofen. You see my point?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Which agrees with you in that regard. Because these companies would, let's say I work at a special foot doctor, which is a podiatrist, and you get all these ladies, unfortunately, because ladies are the number one salesman for all of pharmaceuticals for some reason. But you get these ladies. That's a common.
Are you surprised, Teresa?
Yes, I am. I mean, I really am.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple guys, but he's right. When you're sitting in the doctor's office, I see a lot of women in dresses and heels or whatever in their little suits,
right,
and they wander in there.
Well,
he's
Well, the theory with that was back in the time it was mostly male doctors and some ladies who practiced LBGT. And what you did was, as pharmaceuticals, they would go out and get people who did not necessarily have sales experience, but they had a great appearance. And
right,
they would those pink people would instantly become 80 to 100,000 a year ladies. Okay? It is very difficult for a male to get in. I've known a couple who have, but it's very difficult. So I that's just a side item. But so these ladies would come in and they will comp everybody lunch. This is like a common practice.
Aww.
And the goal, and this is per the other lady's point, I'm just strengthening her point, is that we're going to come in and do all this stuff and you're going to use our product.
Right.
And so here's where, and I'm a conservative, but I'm a John Adams conservative, and I'm not a Reagan conservative. So I like regulation, because see, when you don't have regulation, then these people just get to go filly fally and do whatever, and you think the free market is going to stop it. It's not. So here's where the addiction comes into. Let's say I give you dandelion, the dandelion that grows in your garden. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You take enough of it, and it's all about milligrams, which is the lady's point. You take enough of it, you will be very calm and melancholy. You take too much of it, you'll become depressive. And if you're a male, your penis will stop getting erect because it kills blood flow and it takes the water out your system. So you could take anything, even a regular plant that grows in your garden, and get addicted to it for your problem. And here's where I disagree. Too many people use drugs for escapism.
True.
They don't want to deal with a hole in their life. So what I'm noticing, because I'm a black guy, what I'm noticing with, like, the Caucasian community in rural areas, you got this big meth thing going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the jobs aren't there the way they used to be, you know. Tom used to be real proud. He's been working for Chevrolet for years. Now that plant isn't there.
Right.
And instead of reinventing himself, he escapes.
Right.
So this is where these unfortunate situations come in. And that's why I always try to tell Republicans who I have dealt with of all cultures, you got to stop doing the outsourcing and the escapism stuff, because now you allow other individuals who don't have America as their heart and soul priority, like the pharmaceutical companies who are mostly European, and they just come in and monopolize. But as long as we're at each other's throat over petty stuff, these people see the opportunity and they just come in and push it farther apart. And you know, and we don't see the big thing. So I just wanted to explain it.
Thank you so much. And I also I wanted to ask you, now how do you feel as far as the doctors themselves? Do you feel like they are in some cases overdiagnosing or misdiagnosing patients in order to peddle these pharmaceuticals?
Prior to meaningful use, they were on a major scale, because that was their paycheck outside of what they got through billing.
Right, so kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies are they can be pretty lucrative then.
Right, that's just a standard. Somebody's going to send you a check on the sly because you're using their product. Jake Gyllenhaal was in a great movie about that. It was really about love, but the side item, he was a pharmaceutical. That's something you really should look at. It was he was a pharmaceutical salesman, and he came in when Viagra came in, and the money he was making was astronomical, to the point where he was going into garbage. The point he was going into garbage cans to get samples. So that's proving your point about the money for the doctors and even the salesmen.
Right.
Unfortunately,
right.
The only way to stop it is regulation. But go ahead, ma'am.
So it's fair then to kind of liken these pharmaceutical reps to medical lobbyists.
More like dope dealers. More like dope dealers. Lobbyists at least have an agenda that they're trying to get for their company to build something or sell. Pharmaceutical salespeople are just dope dealers. They really don't care. I mean, look at it from this point, ladies. Look at your average commercial. Look how many times they have to hire a speed speaker to tell you all the bad things about this drug.
Right. While they slowly tell you all about the good to the beautiful, tranquil music.
and then something happens to you, you have to have enough money to sue the company or they'll wait you out with all their money.
Right.
Meanwhile, you have a
condition that's a direct effect of their drug that's likely going to kill you. So.
Right, and it can wait you out for 5 to 10 years in legality. I mean, that's just how it is, unfortunately. There was another great movie about the gentleman who came up with safety needles. And I forgot what the gentleman was who was in there. He's the guy that plays Captain America. But he was in that movie, and it was all about a guy who ended up dying. He ended up dying trying to these companies to own up that they had needles that were bad and were causing problems and transferring. And, you know, this one, that's why we have safety needles now, because of that one lawyer who died fighting this battle.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to look that up, too.
We've got to look up to see which actor he used to. It was an actor that did this?
Yeah, it was the actor, the guy who plays Captain America in the little Marvel movies now. I forgot what his name is.
I know the guy. I just can't call his name.
Trying to see, was it Chris Evans?
Tom, say again, man.
Chris Evans?
Yeah, that must be him. He's the guy
thinking,
with that name.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, but that's why we have safety needles. It's strictly because of him. Because people get funny with, like, the free market will do everything. No, it won't. Because the free market's goal is to take everything it can from you until there's nothing left and then ask for a bailout. So you have to have some form. Oh, okay. Here's another quick example. Look at Flint, Michigan. You ladies know that should have never had happened. On no
course.
And then for half a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you have to have regulation in place. I know conservatives hate it, but you got to have it in place because you have too many people that are going to skip.
Right. I do want to be clear. I do not believe in anarchy by any means. Regulation is, and there should be certain regulations on certain things for the safety.
Right. Like we spoke about earlier, I think regulations should be on how much fish you get, how many deer, but I don't believe we should be forced to have a license for that particular thing. Right.
You don't believe we should be forced to have a license?
Right.
I don't believe we should have to have a fishing license, no. I think now if you're a commercial fisherman, you're in a completely different area. But when you're just a small podo person that just goes to the riverbank every now and then, I don't think you should have to. Plus, we have freedom of travel. I don't think you should have to have all these things that they're actually making us pay for over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, I do agree with you.
The constitutionality of some of them.
I do agree with you. The unfortunate thing is, in every area where we feel even gun licenses, let's per se, if we ever get to that point, the problem is we have people taking your, hey, it's just one Joe Schmo going to go fish, and then you find out he's doing more than that. You know what I'm saying?
See, that's where I believe you should have regulations. There should, fine, we still can have rangers going around checking, checking to see how many you got. I'm checking to see if you're littering, because they do have a lot of that, you know, in the Ohio News. They got a lot of different things. But
that used to be what park rangers were for.
Well, look at all the – I was just discussing with Carla last time before I left. I told him about Toledo, where we had some poachers cutting off the heads of deer. And I announced, you know, 1-800-POACHER.com. Well, 1-800-POACHER, I mean, is the phone number. I'm so sorry. But it's just awful to me to even fathom, you know, somebody just doing something like that. I just don't understand. I really don't understand the madness.
I also think, too, part of my problem with it, and part of the problem that I have with the licensing and whatnot, is there was a time when, and there are so many people that do, especially in rural areas, that live off of the land. They don't have a Walmart down the street. They go out and fish and they prepare it for their family. No matter the size. And it kind of takes away the option of going off the grid also, say you should want to, and free yourself of any kind of government dependence or anything like that. And it kind of takes that God-given right away. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm explaining it clearly.
Well,
there were some people
that went off the grid down in Florida. Wasn't that just a couple years ago, Carla? And she got in huge trouble over it, and they were trying to force her to get back on the grid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was crazy.
Here's the unfortunate thing. No matter what group, and as a black guy from the quote-unquote hood ghetto, I explain this about every group. The problem is that the rural person and the ghetto person have two things in common. They will go and abuse whatever right you're talking about or I'm talking about and then go hide amongst us saying they're trying to take away our right to it. Because that's the unfortunate thing, is that, yes, maybe we don't need the license, but the guy who goes and does something asinine out there, maybe he's poisoning bears so he can grow his marijuana.
Right.
And that poison is going into the river. Guess what he does? He goes right back to his rural folks and claims, they just trying to stop me from growing my, well, no, that ain't what you got charged with.
Or the case where the black person.
You go out and do something inappropriate. Well, they're trying to stop me. No, they're not. They're just saying get off your butt. So there's a two-way street, and both groups, unfortunately, don't have a way to catch the person abusing the system.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're here to give us both sides of the coin. Also, as a white girl from the hood, I can tell you, I can't disagree. I really can't, because I have seen that same kind of abuse of power. And I can't disagree where that is concerned. I have to assume that somewhere there is a healthy compromise. But at this point, I don't think that the other side is looking to compromise.
What we discussed earlier, there is so much. It seems like we are truly bombarded hard with many, many different evils from different directions. And it is way worse than it's ever been before. And I really don't see it getting better right away.
The unfortunate thing, and I'll bow out after saying this, this is just a global political view. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is that I think once we start trying to globalize everything, we mm-hmm. became our own worst enemy. Here's why I say that. If the little boy in Thailand has to pay $5 for a Coca-Cola soda, that's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Trying
right.
to make it cheap for him means that one of your grandkids, granddaughters can't have a job at Coca-Cola here.
That's right.
So if I sit up here and go build a plant out there where he's at to make it not $5 for him but $1 for him, well, now I've infused his whole country or area with money. Now, first thing he wants to do is not stand there and build his own country. He wants to come over to where you at and take your great-granddaughter's job, even though he's not trying to.
If a guy
here is getting paid, and I've had people say this in the tech field, I personally believe tech people are stupid, but this is just my idea. So a guy here gets paid $80,000 to do a job. Well, now through outsourcing, they've got three guys from wherever, and now they're paying each of those three guys $30,000. Okay, those guys come to the country, take that job, but still sell to us like we're crack fiends. And then once he's made enough money, where's his vested interest? To go back to his country after he's drank the thing dry. People have done that through history all the way back to Rome. So that's where I think the problem has come, because remember, we used to have 60 cents a gallon gas, and we used to have 90 cents a pound meat, and we complained
mm-hmm.
about that. But now look
mm-hmm.
what we have. And
exactly.
that's all through getting on each other and being divisive. I'm a conservative, but I'm honest about who does good and who does bad. And that's
right.
where we need to get back to. We don't need to get back into these groups. Just who does good, who does bad. Let's all make money.
Exactly. See, I like the way you think.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
I like the way you think. And I couldn't agree more. This division, this systematic divide that is being pushed in our country is absolutely, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous, guys. There is absolutely no reason that our country should be in the state that it is in 2016.
Disagreeing. Go ahead, guys.
I'm about to wrap up. It's one of the reasons why I think that the Republicans are having a big problem is because mm-hmm. for a long time, I made this point to a couple of friends of mine who are Caucasian. I said,
mm-hmm.
Republicans run the House and the Senate. What have they passed? I said, see, it's gotten to the point where both groups, Democrats, are promising stuff and then playing the hide-the-egg game. Well, now you got the power to do X, Y, or Z minus the executive pen. What have you done? Nothing. So now that creates the opportunity for someone like a Trump, whether you like him good or bad is irrelevant, but it creates
right.
the opportunity for that person because you're not showing that you're doing anything. And to sit in here and say, but Obama, yeah, okay, let's say Obama's just total crap. What have you done? And that's where we're at. We're not Americans anymore. Mm-hmm. We're one group against another, and these international
right.
people are coming
mm-hmm.
in and raping everything.
Right.
And I think that it's very interesting. You bring up a very interesting point because even with and like I've said a million times on this show, it's extremely evident that our media is perpetuating wars across the board, whether it be with sexuality, whether it be with race, whether it be with politics. Across the board, they are systematically dividing the entire country. And I really can't see why people can't see what is being done to them, how weak it is making our country.
Right.
How not only does it make us weak, but the whole world is watching it. the whole world is seeing this weakness.
Yeah.
And that puts us in a very dangerous situation. So
well,
I'm about to
leave. You have a great one. You have
yes,
a great one.
Thank you so much.
Man,
right,
thank you so much. Please, call in anytime.
Absolutely. Right. You are always welcome here, and you be blessed and have a wonderful evening.
Monday night. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That was awesome.
I did all
my...
He was awesome. I really enjoyed him very much.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And
too.
I hope that he joins us again. He had a lot to share. And I really like, even though you guys know that we're not political in the least. We're all about telling you what's going on.
Yep.
We are not actually political people.
Can we real
but
quick
I really like the perspective. That is a societal perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Yeah, I had to tell somebody to stop.
But that was a great societal perspective. You know, we got to see, I mean, and this was, you know, I mean, he was very candid about, you know, across the board. He's a black man. He is a Republican, but not a Ronald Reagan Republican.
That's exactly all right.
He was John Adams. Is that what he said? John Adams?
Yep.
I
think it was John
so,
Adams.
Yes.
I think, well, if we're wrong, he will call us back. I hope. That was very, very enjoyable.
He was wonderful, though. I enjoyed his contribution to the show as well.
Yes.
And, but yeah, guys, I can't stress that point enough. I know that it sounds really cheesy to sit here and beg all of our listeners to unite and to love one another, but I beg of you, this is all part of the plan. They are dividing you, and you're allowing it
right.
to happen over everything,
right.
over absolutely everything. Ask yourself, you
right.
know, before you get up and you whine about something, first
That's
of
right.
all, is it valid? Is it really happening? Or are you just being told that it's happening? Look
right.
for yourself. See if it's really happening. See how often it really happens. Look into
right.
these things for yourself. And always, you know, ask yourself, is this going to affect me? Is this going to affect my country? Is this going to affect my children, my grandchildren, their futures? If it's not, probably not worth crying over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we're just being real.
Right.
Probably not worth crying over, guys. Remember the old expression, no use crying over spilled milk?
Yes.
Everything's not a 5-1 fire. Everything is not worthy of freaking out over. Everything is not worthy of hating your neighbor over.
Good point.
Say you do believe in politics. Say you do. So what if your neighbor likes Hillary and you like Trump? You still live next door to each other. It's still the same neighbor that you had before all of this political crap started happening. I've heard three people now say, I can't trust you because you believe in such and such candidate. What?
This is so awful. Yeah.
I can't trust you?
It's crazy.
And in one case, the girl was talking to her sister.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. It's such...
Oh.
How
we have come to the end of our show.
He's just crept in into everybody's lives and just,
I know.
That's just insane. Insane.
And guys, if you're the praying type, pray for your country. I know I will. And it has
That's
been
right.
wonderful, as always, hanging out with you. And guys, we will see you again next Monday, same time, same place, same excellent new hour. We love you guys, and we love being here with you. And I love you, Teresa, and I thank you as always for your contribution. You are always wonderful.
Oh,
and
you are too.
Guys, you join us Friday night for the impending analysis report, same station, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Join us again next Monday night, same time, same place, same excellent station, NWO Truth Radio. Guys, if knowledge is power, then we hold the key. Until next time, guys, have a blessed one, friends.